We're talking now with Joel Asperl. Did I get that right?
Sounds good to me. I've heard worse.
A candidate and the incumbent, Sandpoint City Councilman. Joel, thanks for taking the time
to talk with us. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, I'm asking everybody to start off the same way. For those who may not be acquainted with you, tell us about yourself. Tell us a bit about your background and how long you've been in Sandpoint and what kind of community ties you have.
Yeah, as Chris mentioned, my name is Joel Asperl. I am an incumbent for Sandpoint City Council. I am running again for another 4 years to serve the community. I am 34 years old, and I've been in Sandpoint since I was 95. My dad is mama from Mexico, and they moved up here in 95 to start the restaurant. And I've been went to high school here, graduated here, decided that college wasn't going to be for me, but and I didn't really know what to do at the moment, so decided to stay at the restaurant. And that moment just became part of the family business to be live in one of the most beautiful places we can. So I've done that ever since. I've have 4 kids. I have a wonderful wife, and yeah, I've coached here, different basketball, soccer. It's pretty much it helped out with football a little bit, but yeah, just get to enjoy the community and spend my life here. And decided to really care about politics in my probably early 20s, mid-20s, hearing a lot of people complaining about everything, but nobody really taking action, at least from my perspective. So I started to go to council meetings, not even ever really thinking about running for a city council position, just wanting to be aware of what was going on, especially for the business aspect. Definitely when I got married and decided to have kids, I was like, oh, well, if our future is going to be here, I really want to be aware and knowing what's going on, which eventually led to me 4 years ago running for the city council position, mm-hmm. not knowing what to expect. It was a great experience, actually.
I'm asking everybody the same. This one's kind of a slam dunk for you. You're running for city council. How many city council meetings have you attended the past couple of years?
Quite a bit. And I think more notably was what really helped me was going to the council meetings even before I decided to run, or even before I even knew I was ever wanting to be in politics. So that was actually probably the best thing for me, was that seeing how it works, seeing how people work together, seeing how the community was involved. So, but I've been to quite a few council meetings.
Mm-hmm. This might be a heads up for your opponents, but how much time does it take to be a city council guy?
Yeah.
And, I mean, and do the job, you know, that you, in the way you feel is doing it well.
No, absolutely. I think depends on the week, the information you get. At the end of the day, you put in, you get out what you put in, you know. And some weeks are definitely easier than others on certain things, and or sometimes there's a pandemic and that makes it a little more difficult, or it's extra beyond what you anticipate. So I mean, it really depends on the week and what the package can hold.
Mm-hmm. And the council's meeting essentially twice a month now.
Yeah, first and third Wednesday of every month. Yeah. Sometimes there's, you know, special meetings here and there, but mm-hmm. essentially first and third Wednesday of every
just
month.
Just go to meetings.
And I encourage everybody to go.
Yeah.
To it's a sacrifice, you know. Mm-hmm. My 2 daughters came with me to the last meeting. It was actually really cool. My 7- and 5-year-old, and I thought it was going to be a shorter meeting. It ended up being over 2 hours, but they handled it very well, and I was proud of them. I was like, if they can do it,
the average citizen can. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Joel, so what are the biggest issues that you identify for Sandpoint, and where do you stand on it?
Right, that's a good question. So my perspective may be a little different than others. It may not be. I look at it kind of like we're going downstream, and you see rocks here and there, and you're navigating as it comes. You don't always know what's going to happen. So I don't see things as the biggest issues. I see Sandpoint as a whole that we're trying to work through and navigate as we're growing, especially this past, you know, year and a half, 2 years since COVID and the massive growth here. I don't know if prepared was the right word, but nobody saw it coming. And so right now we are just, you know, boots tied, strapped, ready to go and go to work. And that's what we're doing now. I wouldn't say there's major issues in that regard as much as there's a city that's growing and we're trying to navigate that, because major issues, in my opinion, would be depends on the individual and their perspective. Mm-hmm. But ones that I hear of that people is housing. That's a big one, you know, affordable housing. And ever since I got into politics or caring, that is something that's always been brought up, was housing, housing, housing. But yet I've never seen anything done about it, because I would argue it's not really the government's job to make affordable housing. And it's not a real popular opinion, but I don't, you know, you just never, I never see the conversation. I never see the definition of affordable. Everybody throws the word of affordable housing. Well, I'm like, affordable to who? Housing now could be affordable to a certain class, but not necessarily another, where 5 years ago it was affordable to a certain class and yet not another. Unfortunately, terms are never defined in those areas. And I don't, it is an issue. You see a problem, but I don't see personally a city council fixing that problem.
Are there ways that you see that the council or this, the city can, say, streamline approval of housing projects?
Mm-hmm. So with the free market we have, and this is my opinion, and I'm open to correction, absolutely. And matter of fact, I'd be happy to be proven wrong in this regard. But what you're having is you're having subdivisions being approved, housing is being approved, being built, and it's going to go to the higher bidder, the highest bidder. So you have people with more money than I and others here that are coming in and buying the property for more money and more than asking. And locals like myself wouldn't be able and usually can't compete with that kind of money. Or you have institutions and firms like BlackRock, all these big firms that are all going buying houses and property all over the nation for way more than asking price that we certainly can't compete with. So if we streamline things, we may be very much streamlining it for the purchase of, again, people out of state that we and not
that are basically
us.
Profiteering right. off of the
so,
situation.
You know, so you have density, for example. If we create more density, well, now we are creating smaller properties so we can build more. And what I see is smaller properties build more so people from the outside can come in and buy more for cheaper. Mm-hmm. And again, we still wouldn't be able to compete. It's a very complex issue. I don't believe it's something that we are going to fix. And again, I'd be happy to be proven wrong, but I don't believe it's something that we are going to fix.
So you think the market will just adjust?
I think that's what's going to happen. If we possibly were able to foresee COVID happening and the massive growth, then I don't believe anybody saw that coming or could see that coming, then maybe we could have done something. But at this point, I believe we're riding the wave, and I don't think there's anything that a council can do that would make a huge difference for the housing problem that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, growth is another issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're definitely seeing growth, and what's your viewpoint on the way the city might manage growth through its planning processes? Do you think they're doing a pretty good job now, or are there other things that you would see the city to do to help manage growth?
Yeah, I think we have a great staff. I think we have a great city council. And I think we've been working hard and working with staff to do the things we're doing to manage the growth. And I think we're not the only city that's going through these growing pains. And I think as we navigate, if reelected and if there's two new people in there with us, we're going to all work together, hopefully, to continue to navigate the growth. But at this moment, I think we're doing fine for what we have and what's going on. And I know staff is working very hard, and I give kudos to staff working as hard as they are with what they have.
Another issue you mentioned here, let's follow up on that too, and that's the COVID-19 mm-hmm. virus and the pandemic. The infection rates are continuing to be high. In fact, they're higher now than they have been for many months. And Idaho and Bonner County have among the lowest vaccination rates and not much mask usage. Is there anything that you'd advocate or work toward as concerns handling the whole pandemic issue within the city?
I think that that's a conversation for a much longer interview process. That it you do, I believe we'd do more harm than good in the short amount of time that we have to discuss such a complex issue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about as you're a business person in town? Mm-hmm. It definitely impacted you, especially early on when things shut down so much mm-hmm. at the restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly in the beginning as well, where nobody really knew what was going on or what to do. And there's certainly different opinions, different fears. And yeah, it was very, very tough in the beginning, especially the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We did the best we could, and really came down to personal responsibility, people taking care of themselves, whatever they need to do. If you're sick, vulnerable, scared, stay home. And we're a small enough community, I believe, and a loving enough community where we would take care of those who needed help. And so my opinion was to take care of yourself, do what you need to do to protect yourself and take responsibility for yourself. And I think it worked out just fine.
Okay.
Some business decided to shut down. Some did not. Mm-hmm. You know, some believed that 2 weeks would be enough. Some didn't believe that 2 weeks would be enough. And here we are.
Yeah. And there's not a super clear end in sight at all. It's pretty hard to tell where the things could take us. What we hear from the hospitals is that they're pretty full right now. In fact, you know, they've gone to crisis standards of care, which is very concerning for anybody even people that, you know, aren't worried about the COVID, but do need other types of elective health care. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. My son is one of them, so I'm very aware of that. More in Seattle Children's Hospital, not here, but it is still a situation. Mm-hmm.
Okay, another question here. There's going to be a ballot question for city residents to vote on, asking them if they'll approve a 1% local option sales tax on purchases made in the city with the money earmarked for parks and sidewalks. That's the same tax the city had from 2015 to 2020, and that money was used to do the new grandstands improvements at Memorial Field. So it's a 1 cent on each dollar spent on purchases and within the city. Do you favor or oppose the local option tax?
Right. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a council meeting where the council approved to push it to the ballot to ultimately be the deciding factor of the citizens, which is a way I like to see it. What are the citizens, you know, what's their choice on that? I voted yes on that primarily. I'm not sure if you're aware, but we are more than likely going to lose our resort status as a city. And after
sometime in the future when we go over 10,000 population.
Which will more than likely be the next census. And so the idea was this was a last opportunity for something like this. And it is an opportunity where I'm not usually a fan or proponent of raising any type of taxes, but this tax being that going to the ballot for the citizens to vote on, and a tax that, in my opinion, is spread out to not only locals, but tourists, obviously Bonner County residents. And instead of all that weight, whether we like it or not, the city's going to grow. I'm not always going to be on city council. That's going to change. And things are going to be voted on, taxes are going to be raised to beautify the community. So this is an opportunity to not put all of that weight and pressure on the citizens of Sandpoint and spread it out through that year process, those years to not put all the weight initially on taxpayers. Say in the future they decide to raise taxes to beautify the community. I thought it was the fairest and best way to do it. And I completely understand and sympathize why people may not like it. And normally I don't choose to raise any types of tax. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have a business here. It affects us. It affects people wanting to shop here locally. Pondere did their 1% as well. So it is. It's unfortunate. It's very complex when you're dealing with government and taxes and money and economy. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame anybody for being upset or concerned. I also know there's a lot of people that may not fully understand what it is. They think it's an automatic tax. They don't think it's going to the ballot. So my encouragement to anybody is find a council member, go talk to them, you know, email the city, seek clarification before judgment. That's always
what the council did. They just approved to put it on the ballot and let the voters decide.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've probably only got a few minutes left here. Generally speaking, do you think the city council and the mayor have been taking the city in the right direction?
Working with the city council, I've got to work with the old city council and also the new city council. We really lost two people and got two new members, and I think we've been doing a great job, and I think the diversity of it's beautiful. You have different worldviews sometimes. Sometimes we have the same worldview depending on the issue, and for the most part, I believe we've worked very cordial together as a team, and that's just the thing, is it's not just one person up there making decisions. We are a unit working together, trying to do what's best for the community. That is a melting pot of different views, different political positions, Republican, Democrat, left wing, right wing, chicken wing, you name the wing, it's here. So I believe that this council has done a great job working together to push us in the right direction.
Let's touch on that a little bit more. So things in the country and even locally remain mm-hmm. really politically polarized. Mm-hmm. How do you, in your seat there on the city council, you know, try to represent the whole of the population, including yeah. those people that may not have voted for you mm-hmm. or hold different opinions?
Right. That's a very good question. So I have, I believe, a unique position where I'm at, being part of the restaurant, growing up here, going to high school here. In my position at the restaurant, I get to meet and know a lot of people walking down the street, you know, rich, poor, left, right wing, you name it. And I love that because I get an opportunity to see them as a person and not deal with them from the political standpoint, like on Facebook or this or that. It's been a joy. And I think that's been great for me to kind of cultivate a proper mindset being on city council, being off social media for 3 years, actively off social media for 3 years, not really being drawn into CNN or Fox News or any of those, just really working on focusing on a local standpoint has been a great thing for me personally. So I can only speak for that personally, is I'm very aware that some of my constituents are left, right, whatever you want to call it, but diverse nonetheless. And so what helps me is to be, knowing that I have biases, we all have biases, being aware of my biases, so when I'm up there, I do the best I can to be as unbiased as I can, knowing my biases, to make the best decision, what's best for the community. And it is not easy. It is definitely not easy, because when I sit up there, I look at the grandstands, and I pretty much am friends and know every single person in there. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely not an easy position.
And no matter what decision you come up with, somebody's going to be mm-hmm. probably unhappy.
Yeah.
So and I imagine you hear that as
absolutely. As and, a representative. And my relationship with the community, in my opinion, is one where they feel safe to come to me and let me know if they don't like a decision I made, or if they do like it, and I appreciate about it. I mean, I have friends that are like, hey, I'm not going to vote for you, but they shake my hand, but they're like, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. I respect that 100%. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well, Joel, we're out of time. If voters want to find out more about you or hear more about what you think on things, how would they get in touch?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook, Joel for Sandpoint City Council. You can check that out. You can come talk to me at the restaurant. Just don't come during the lunch rush. I might put you to work.
Fair warning. Okay, Joel Espiro, the incumbent and candidate for Sandpoint City Council.
Thank you very much,
for talking.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.